We've been learning from James all sorts of tests of ways to evaluate the reality, the vitality of our relationship with God. And really, this is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful part, because some points, I mean, James could do this for you, and maybe you felt this way. There's just some points, after a while, you're reading a different test every week, that it just kind of can frustrate you, because you're like, you know, it's kind of like when somebody picks on you all the time. It doesn't feel good. You know what I mean? And James is doing that. He's helping us start to see some different things that, man, this is a trial. This is a test. And some points, it's like, I want to hear something kind of nice. But James is cutting it straight to a group of believers that were in heavy persecution, that were dispersed, and helping them really live a courageous and a wonderful faith relationship with the Lord. And that's part of where we bring today. Our topic today is the seriousness of slander. So here's the part that I love about preaching verse by verse, because this is not a topic that every preacher gets excited about. Like, I don't see this even ever being in like the top 50 topics that a pastor wants to preach on. I mean, really. It's like, it's not. But yet, this is what I love about verse by verse, is then you can't duck it. And there's a part that, in context, we can go into the topics that God really wants to speak to all of us about. And because it's not one of those favorite topics that a pastor would preach on, sometimes gets ignored. And so we can let the Bible hit us full on, knowing that when God does that, it's not to diminish us, it's just to build us up. And that we can look at it and grow from it. And this is where I get excited as we get into this. So James chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 12. And slander is a serious issue. The more you start to really focus on it, slander is a malicious speech that is untrue. Popular terminology in our day would mean defamation of character is essentially what slander is in a more modern term, which is illegal, by the way. And you could actually be sued, a civil lawsuit, because of defamation of character. So because this is such an amazing, I mean, there's parts as I was researching this, sometimes it's so easy to lose track just how passionate God is about this topic. And even how far our nation has come. When I was doing my research in New York in the early days of our nation's founding, I read this and I thought, man, this is a crazy thought. But in New York, in our early days of our nation, someone, if they were found guilty of slander, would be arrested and their tongues would be pierced with a hot iron. Think our nation's come a little far? That whole thought, I mean, then on top of that, they would be banished from New York. And my whole time, I'm sitting there thinking, their tongue pierced with a hot iron. You know, they'd be talking like this. They'd be talking very hard. If you can imagine a New Yorker with that New Yorker accent, then can't talk because your tongue's been pierced. You get the point. And sometimes we, you know, it'd be kind of nice to have a little bit more of that in our country, huh? But I just think our nation's standards have loosened up a little bit, right? So what we can discover from God's word is just how serious this topic really is. And so I'm just going to roll through some passages, but let's start off with our passage today, verses 11 through 12. Starting off with verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So as I was studying this, I discovered that in the Old Testament that slander is one of the most confronted sins in the entire Old Testament. This is what makes it so tough. Leviticus, so let's go through some of them. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Psalm 15, look at the first three verses. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. It's amazing, our God is one that does not slander. Psalm 101, verse 5, I will not tolerate a people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. Proverbs 10, verse 18, hiding hatred makes you a liar. Slandering others make you a fool. Man, is that powerful, right? I mean, does anybody really want to be painted as a fool? And yet, slandering does that. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 10. Never slander a worker to the employer, or the person will curse you, and you will pay for it. Good wisdom from Proverbs. Now let's look at the New Testament. It's just not an Old Testament concept. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Or do you not know the wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters or adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves or greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Do you get all the other evils that are put with this in that sentence? You start to get a picture. Just a few books back from where we're at in James, Ephesians chapter 4, just to really help you see it, perhaps for the first time, to come to understand how big of a deal this is to God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, and we'll read several verses here. Since you have heard about Jesus and you've learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. But your new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't let sin, by letting the anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Then in verse 29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. And it continues, verse 30. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as those types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. See, this passage of 1 Corinthians, and when you start reading into the Proverbs of the Old Testament, God is saying, and he wants us to be crystal clear, that slander is a big deal to him. It's a huge offense. And James is helping us understand that this is a test. It's a way to evaluate our faith, to make sure that our heart, and that we're living, that our heart is healthy and our faith is pure. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, because this is a list of abominable sins to the Lord. Starting off in verse 16, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Look at verse 17, look at this list. So you have haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. See, God gives this amazing list of six things, really seven things that are abhorrent to him. He can't stand them. And this brings his wrath, it brings his curse, it brings his judgment, and he hates these things. So there's three things, and notice there are three things out of this list, nearly half of the entire list of these incredible sins are words that we say or words that we would use. that dictate three of them. So I feel like slander is a big thing, which leads us to a question: why does God hate it so much? I mean, why? And as I was taking time, as I was reflecting, preparing, God just sees the big picture for us. I mean, as an individual, when you're saying things that tear people down, when we're speaking things that are destroying people, hurting people, it's an indicator of our heart. And slander is one of those things that, and God can see, that often points when we start to do a slander of a person, there, even when initially we might have good intentions, but the negativity of it ends up becoming infected in our faith. I mean, I can't help but look at it. Let me use a sports analogy, because we're in football season and I just love football. But it's so easy with our football teams right now that it's easy for us to talk about people the same way we talk about sports. Because we might have, hey, that was a good game yesterday. Yeah, if you consider four turnovers really good. We can sit there and all of a sudden really be real critical. Oh, that coach doesn't know how to call a defense if his life depended on him. One of my favorite jokes about Tom Osborne, who was the head coach in Nebraska for eons, still revered as one of the greatest coaches for Nebraska. His wife, so if you've probably heard this joke maybe in different for different teams, but it's kind of true. He went 8 years without winning a bowl game at the end of the season. And so the common joke was, you know why Tom Osborne's wife doesn't serve him cereal in a bowl but has it in a plate? Because if you put it in a bowl, he'd lose it. It's a funny joke. But here's the part. Some points we can go so critical, and we put ourselves in a place that when we become critical of others, that criticalness infects our faith. And that's the part that God wants us to understand, that it's an indicator that something's wrong. And we need to be able to say, God, do a look in my heart, so that anger, the bitterness, the criticism doesn't cut other people down. It should bring, our words should bring life. So James is trying to help us see this. And there's three things when it comes to slander that I want you to notice. First is, when you slander, you're not viewing others correctly. Look at verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. The NIV puts it this way: brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. So if you're a Bible highlighter, I encourage you to underline, highlight those words, brothers, or if you're in a transition that has brother or sister, to underline it. Because what James is helping us remember is that who we're all talking about is family. Guess what? We're all part of the same family. One of the things that would drive Pastor Stacy and I nuts, and maybe this wasn't you as a parent, but you really noticed how quickly it tested your patience if you're inside the car, because you can't go anywhere. So if your kids are remotely ticking each other off, that unsettledness easily infiltrates the whole place, right? And there's parts, and maybe you found yourself saying the same thing, going, Grant, he's your brother. Garrett, he's your brother. And James is trying to help remind us, these are your brothers. These are your sisters. Why can't you all get along? What a great course correction, right? So that we can be reminded, hey, when you're talking about people in this way, we're family. I almost want to be Italian. We're family. We're family. Brothers and sisters. We're in this together. Let not our criticism be to the point that we forget that part. We're not viewing others correctly. And that's what James is wanting us to be reminded of. Secondly, this morning, when you slander, you're not viewing the law correctly. So not only when we slander do we not only see others wrong, but we also don't even view the law itself. Look at verse 11, where at the last part, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Basically, he's saying this, is that the law of God, and this is the law of the Lord, is that we're to love one another. I mean, it's summed up what Jesus shared in the what's known as the Great Commandment. Look at it, Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 37. When the Jews were trying to trap Jesus, teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord, and he goes on, this, started reading the same verse, this is the first and greatest commandment, but the second one is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all of the demands of the prophet are based on these two commandments. So two commandments that everything is built on, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with everything, your intellect, your passions, your emotions, your soul, all of it, your will. We are to love the Lord, but equally, we're to love our neighbors as we do it ourselves. See, if we are not loving one another correctly, slandering does this, it diverts us. It diverts us from really being able to fully love God the way we should. Because have you ever noticed that if you're really critical of other people in a slandering side, it's pretty hard to be a positive person. And that'll affect your prayers. It'll affect your passion to believe God to answer your situation that you're facing right now. And it starts a cycle down where then you quit trusting Him, believing in Him. You'll be desensitizing your heart, your emotions to hearing His voice. Slandering has a downward spiral if we're not careful. Third, and finally, when you slander, you're not viewing God correctly. Look at verse 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge, He who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So here's what James is saying. You're saying something that you shouldn't, probably. You're spreading lies, or maybe it's not even lies. Maybe it's just partial truths. But you're tearing somebody down, and you're doing all this, but basically you're saying this, I'm going to step in. I'm going to step in, I'm going to render a verdict. I'm going to step up and give my opinion because I know I'm going to set the record straight. I'm going to step in here, and I'm going to vent. I'm going to express my opinion. Kind of sounds like Facebook. And here's the part. What we're starting to say is, basically, we start to act like God. We start taking His position. When He's the one that says, and listen to it, I'm the one who has the power to save and destroy. He's saying, let me remind you that I am the giver and the taker of life. And so James is saying, let me call your attention to the one who's omnipotent. Let me call your attention to the one who is amazingly, that will take care of every situation that you think you've got to correct. God's saying, I appreciate your opinion, but I've got this. And so when we get to our, and this is where this starts to lead us even into next week's series, new series for the month of October, we need to realize God's in control. Regardless of who wins the election, our God is still sovereign and He's still on the throne. Amen. If that does not give you confidence this week, come on. Regardless of what you're going to walk through this week, know that our God is in control. Slander has a way to challenge us to not see God how He is. Our holy, pure God who wants to do nothing but good, who Wes will convict. He'll convict us But you know what? His conviction is never going to be a propulsion away. It just won't. His calling to us won't be... When God convicts, he never demeans you as a person. You have that. When God convicts, he loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you in the same state that you're in. See, that's the amazing part. Slander desensitizes us to that whole aspect that we have a God that let us live like we just want to live our own life. But we have a God that's willing to challenge us to live a better life. And we already heard it through the message of the Holy Spirit earlier, as my mic's cutting out. One of those amazing parts about the Holy Spirit, what it spoke to us earlier, is that we have a Holy Spirit that is involved in every aspect of our lives. So brothers and sisters, you're part of a family. Let your words lift up. Why? Because when we speak words, we lift people up, we're not only not acting like the devil, but we're completely acting like our Father in heaven. And that's what he wants us to be. When we have lives and words that lift people up, that bring life, it'll be so amazing what it does. And I encourage you this morning to think about your words. In fact, that's where James has had it several different times, about the power of the tongue. And it comes back to play even in this moment, is to be careful of what you say. Because there's moments where our words can do so much damage. So the next time, husband, wife, you talk about your old ball and chain, you call somebody that, I'm just telling you, you just already know you're heading in a direction, right? Our words matter. Our words matter. And that's what this topic of slander and what James is helping us, your words matter because it pollutes your heart. Don't let it pollute your walk with him because he wants you. He wants the best. And the Holy Spirit wants us to know that when we give our hearts to him, he will give us the power to be able to have words of life. We will have the discernment. We'll have the wisdom. We'll have the strength in the moment. When you're sitting there going and you hear all the cussing at work, you hear all the other jokes, coarse jokes, and it's like, how do I live for him in this? The Holy Spirit will help you. He'll give you opportunities to speak a fresh word. An encouraging word, words that bring life. See, that's the lessons that we're learning today from James, is that slander is a big deal. So how are you doing when it comes to the test of slander? Because, man, I was convicted yesterday even about my coach at Nebraska. I mean, their first half, they stunk. Second half was a lot better. And then I'm even texting Garrett going, I don't know about our offensive coordinator making the play calls. And we're doing, and I found myself convicted, going, man, I'm slandering my coach. And in fact, when I heard his after the game interview, it put it back in perspective. Yeah, this is the second year team learning how to learn to win. And then I'm like, oops, yep. And it's so easy to let our self-righteous emotions, desires to snatch us and to say things that we shouldn't. See, and that's what's beautiful, is you want to know how to bring a difference to our nation in the midst of a political year. This is the lesson right here that paves the way for the next couple weeks. Wow. Worship team, would you come? I know that there, as they come, I know that there are going to be some here this morning that even as we're talking this, you realize your heart in your life is not where it should be. And here's the beautiful part, whether you're here, you're watching online, you need to know that there is a holy, loving God that just loves you. And these tests, these evaluations, these parts, these checkups that James is bringing us week after week is not to defeat you. It's not to deter you. It's to encourage you that you have a God that's not going to let sin go unchecked in your life. He's not going to let little things corrupt you, because what's little now becomes bigger. Yesterday, Oliver got off his lease. And when he did, well, and here's what got him off his leash. We had about 7 or 8 turkeys that were flexing their feathers. And Oliver's like, come on, baby. And next thing you know, he's going, and this is the first time it's happened since we've lived here, off across Highway 64 he goes. And now I'm panicky. I'm yelling. I'm Oliver! Bill saw it firsthand. Bill and Debbie were sitting in the parking lot watching me run across the street, and they were kind of cackling later. I'm yelling, Oliver! And he's not stopping. And, I mean, he's still trying to, we're across the street, we're around the neighbor's house, and unfortunately, I know I woke him up, because I'm yelling, stop! Stop! And this is the amazing part that James is bringing us, is he's bringing us messages, stop! Stop! Before you go too far. Because as Oliver came back out and he's running down the shoulder, heading towards Antigo, I'm like, sit! And finally, Oliver, all of a sudden, looks at me and sits. And there was a car coming, and I'm kind of headed him, holding off, because I'm just waiting for me to get close, and then he'll dart off again. But nope, he let me pick up the leash again. And see, this is how God is. God sees the cars. He sees the traffic. And he will do his best in all of his avenues so that you don't get hit what you can't see. We have a God that loves you. And that's the whole part that James is bringing us today. And so if you're in here today and you're going, is this God thing all real? Even what you heard earlier in the service, through the worship, through the gifts of the Spirit, you need to know that there's a God that's yelling today. And it may not be Oliver, but it's your name. Because why else would he bring you to this point, this part today, other than to let you know he loves you, and he will do what he will do his best to bring people across your path, to speak words to you, to let you be reminded that I see every part of your life, the good and the bad, and he sees you, and he loves you. Turn back to him today. So if you're here today and for the first time, or maybe it's been a while, you need to rededicate your heart and your faith to him. Know that you have a God that loves you. And he's for you. Even as we deal with the seriousness of slander, we have a God that saves and a God that loves. Because that's who he is. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness in this place today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your favor. A goodness that never goes away. It's always present, just as you are. So Lord, we just quiet our hearts to you today. And we just take a moment to be real, to let you speak to our heart and life today. So with every head bowed this morning, if you're here today and you need to rededicate your life to him, you know you can hear his voice saying your name. Turn back. Stop. If that's you today, would you just look this way? I want to pray for you today. You can even kind of lift your hand just so I can make sure I see your attention if that's you. Is there anyone today? Thank you. Awesome. Is there others? Thank you. Wonderful. I want everyone to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me, for telling me to stop and turn my heart and my life to you. Forgive me of my sin, doing things my own way. Come into my life. Be my leader and my Savior. I give all of it, all of my life to you. Do a new work in me. In Jesus' name, amen.